That's the first movie I watched.
Casablanca? Oh, I don't have them on dates.
I watched, that's Castaway, and I watched that last month.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for the month of
August 2017.
I can't even get the month right, and you get the year wrong. All right.
I got it kind of right. I said 2017. I couldn't decide to say 2017 or 2017, and I combined them.
Yeah. All right, I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this year, I'm going to try to watch 100 movies that I own on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever that I haven't watched since I bought them.
And I made a list of movies that by this time I should have seen them. And during the podcast, I mentioned the two movies I watched this month because I probably will spoil them because I assume everyone has seen them but me. And the two movies I watched this month were When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle. So two Meg Ryan movies.
Which is funny because half the movies that you watch, I haven't seen.
Yeah, but everyone makes references to those movies.
But the thing is, some of those movies, the ones I haven't seen, most of the time I don't want to watch them, but whatever. Oh, yeah, and then whatever.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't watched them for a reason.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been intrigued to watching them. But some of these I'm happy with. I like them.
All right. And then whatever other movies we watch that month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to be a confusing thing for people because, for once, Jason watched more movies than I did.
I thought you were going to talk about the weird thing of this podcast.
Yeah, we'll mention that later when we get to it. But that's
the first movie.
Okay. The first movie, that was the third movie I watched this month.
And I watched more than you, and that was the first movie I watched.
All right, the movie, The Dark Tower, had come out this month.
Yeah.
In August 4th. Mm-hmm. And Jason and I have both read
the entire
Dark Series books. I'm a huge Stephen King fan, in case you didn't know that. I don't know how
I'm slowly catching up on the comic books.
Yeah. But
I read the actual seven books.
Yeah. In order to actually give our thoughts and ideas on this, we're going to have a separate Dark Tower podcast that'll release later this week.
To really review it, I feel like we're going to have to delve into the books and a lot of spoilers. So instead of warning people, hey, don't listen to this if you haven't read the Dark Tower books, we'll just do it as a separate podcast. That way, if you read the books and haven't seen the movie or have seen the movie and haven't seen the movie and don't care, we will do comparisons and basically tear it apart.
Yeah. So if you don't care about the Dark Tower, good news. You don't have to listen to this talk. And if you wanted to hear
our... But I'm still going to rate it in this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to rate it. And then once after we talk about it, who knows? My rating might change. Who knows? Because the few times I've talked about it so far in person with people, I've changed my rating.
And it's been slowly falling down. It's
slowly declining.
Yeah. I know that we weren't going to review the movie, but I'm just going to say that it was entertaining, but also a slap in the face.
Yeah, it had its moments.
So I gave it a 5.5.
I gave it a 4.5.
And I gave it a 5.5 because there were parts of watching it I was happy and excited. But looking back and seeing what they fucked up badly, that's why it's low. But I'm still going to watch it again. Like, so it's not like, if it's below 5, I'll never want to watch it again. But it's slightly above 5, and I want to... Okay, I went into it going, this is going to be a shitty movie. And I enjoyed it. Now I have to set the bar even lower the second time I watch it, going, it's not just shitty, it's just really shitty. And then I would enjoy it more, I think.
Yeah.
I gave it a 5.5.
And I gave it 4.5. So look at that. It's like a perfect 10 among two people.
65-45.
50-45.
Sorry. All right. So then the next movie, I'm just going to just do them both at the same time. Because I watched the two Revenge of the Nerds movies.
Look at you.
So I watched Revenge of the Nerds and Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise. So I have never seen these movies. I guess these probably should have been on my list too, but fuck it.
I remember seeing bits and pieces when I was a kid, but not enough to understand half of what was going on, I'm sure.
So I didn't write down names. That's bad.
Booger is one of them.
That's not even the main characters.
Yeah.
The main characters is the main guy you know with the glasses.
Yeah, he's...
And then the other guy from ER, or Chicago Hope, one of those two. But anyway, they're going to college, you know, their first year in college, and they're really excited. So they get to campus, and the two main characters are roommates. What?
No, sorry, I was going to IMDb and a fucking Inhumans ad popped up and brought me to the goddamn page.
But anyway, it cuts to this jock frat house, and there's like this big ogre-y type guy who's like, nerds, and he hates nerds and stuff.
Yeah, that dude.
And then one of the guys in the frat's like, hey, check this out, fireballs. And then he like takes a swig of alcohol and spits it with the lighter, and it does the fireball thing, and everyone's like, yeah, again! And then he fucking does it again. And then the third time, he sets the curtains on fire.
As Lewis and...
Oh, yeah, Lewis is the main guy.
Gilbert.
So he sets the curtains on fire, and the entire frat house burns down.
Cool.
So now this frat has nowhere to live, but because they're all jocks, and that's what the college, you know, the football and all that, John Goodman is in this movie as their coach and says... They are going to move all this fraternity into the freshman dorm, and the freshmen have to live in the gym. So they just have beds laid out in the gym, like basically Red Cross flood relief type setup for these freshmen. And they said, but since you guys are forced in the gym, we will allow the freshmen to join a frat and live in that frat house as a negotiator. Because usually they can't live in the frat house in their freshman year. So they say, if you can get into a frat, we'll do this. And basically, most of the freshmen are all nerds. Most freshmen are. so they start looking for a house. And they want to, first they try to get in all the different frats, and they're all like, no, we don't want nerds in our frat. We don't want nerds in our frat. And then they're like, why don't we just start our own frat? So then they start looking for a frat house, and they get a house, and they're like, okay, now we can be a frat. They're like, it has to be a pre-existing frat. You can't just make up a frat. So like, oh, this campus doesn't have these frats, so they're calling, trying to see if they can like bring that frat to the campus. Okay. All these different frats are like, no, we don't want nerds in our frat. We don't want nerds in our frat. And they finally come up with Lambda Lambda Lambda, which is an all black frat.
Okay.
But they're like, okay, seems fair.
Well, one of the nerds is black, so
yeah, he
kind
is.
Kind of makes.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I didn't write. And then the other frat gets pissed at these nerds for having a frat, and they're like, they shouldn't be allowed to have a frat. So they basically start doing a prank war between the two frats. And then Lewis is trying to get... Is it Lewis?
Oh,
nope, the other guy.
Gilbert?
Gilbert. Gilbert's trying to be head of the frat, and that way he can go to the frat meetings and... you know, basically dethrone the nerd jock frat guys. And they end up doing a competition, like a bunch of relays and fundraisers and all this different, like, basically what you'd think of, hey, these two college frats are going neck and neck in all these different competitions.
Like an 80s college movie.
Right. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that during the talent portion of the show, the nerds do a song and it's freaking amazing.
Oh, that rap.
Yeah, the weird nerd rap thing. Which is hilarious. If you haven't seen the movie, just type up Revenge of the Nerds talent show or something on YouTube.
I'm sure if you just type rap, it'll
show up. Yeah, nerd rap. Revenge of the Nerds rap is hilarious. My screen went to... So that was the first movie, and I thought it was pretty good. I gave it a 7. It's pretty entertaining. So I'm like, oh, I'll probably like the second one, too. I didn't write any notes on this.
Classic. Classic 80s sequel.
Horrible. Okay, I just want to start off by saying that Revenge of the Nerds 2 is horrible. So, was it George?
Gilbert? Or
Gilbert, Lewis? Gilbert. So, Gilbert, at the beginning of this movie, broke his leg playing chess. I don't fully understand. So, he has to stay back where the rest of the nerds go down to, I think, Miami or something? I didn't write any notes down, so... because there's a big, huge frat conference. So they bring all the frats from the different areas down for meetings and all this stuff.
Okay.
And they show up, and the owner of the hotel's like, we don't want nerds staying in this hotel. So he deletes their reservations for their room. So then they're like, they get there, and they don't have a room. So they go all over town trying to find a hotel room to stay in. And they get the shittiest hotel possible, but they got a room, but everyone's pissed off at the nerds. So then you start getting the whole nerd prank versus the other. It's like the same movie.
Yeah. Except in a hotel instead of a college.
Right. They even had a competition thing where they did a talent show portion again, and they're like, people liked it in the first movie. Let's do another one. And it was bad.
Yeah, you showed me both of the songs. Yeah, the first one actually, it feels like they have some spirit involved. Yeah. As opposed to going, let's copy and paste also, this and then change the tone. And
Lewis's laugh is infectious, and he probably laughed once or twice in the first movie. And the second movie, like, people liked it, so let's do it all the time.
So the,
yeah. And they even put that in the rap. And everything, it was...
Were the Beastie Boys in that movie, too? Or am I just...
I don't remember seeing the Beastie Boys.
I'm probably wrong.
I gave this one a 4.5.
Ooh.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Even though it took place in paradise, the movie itself wasn't a paradise.
So Revenge of the Nerds 2 is my Dark Tower.
Yeah. Revenge of the Nerds 2, I gave 4.5. Revenge of the Nerds 1, I gave a 7.
Okay.
And then I remember they were going to remake it. They said, nope.
Nope, no thank you.
No thank you. It'll be as good as Revenge of the Nerds 2. If not worse. And then another movie I watched. This was on HBO. And it looked interesting because it's got Chris O'Dowd in it.
Chris O'Dowd?
It was a movie called Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel.
Is he Irish or Scottish?
I think he's Scottish. I don't know.
If you saw Bridesmaids, he was the
cop.
Policeman. Or
have you seen IT Crowd? He's like the main guy in IT Crowd. But most people know him in Bridesmaids because that's more popular. Okay, so Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, or FAQ about time travel.
I'm really surprised. Like, no, that's what fucking FAQ means.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Facts. So, Chris O'Dowd and his two friends work at this amusement park, and Chris O'Dowd's character gets fired. So after they go to this bar and, you know, try to decide what the hell they want to do with their life. And they're like, if you could be anything, what would you do? Trying to help Chris O'Dowd, like, moving on. And he's like, I would be a time traveler. I'm like, you can't just do that. He's like, yeah, but that would be the ideal job I would want. And this isn't a real job. This isn't helping. Whatever. So one of his friends gets up to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom, and is it Total Eclipse of the Heart? I want to say it's Total Eclipse of the Heart is playing. So he's like singing the song, going to the bathroom, washes his hands, and he's singing the song, and goes back into the pub, and everybody's dead.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, everybody's dead. He sees himself in the corner, and he's like, what the fuck? So he runs back into the bathroom, goes back, and now it's like everything's fine. So he's like, this isn't right. And Chris O'Dowd goes to the bar to get drinks and runs into Anna Faris, who's in this movie. And she starts saying that she's from the future, and she's a time traveler. And he's like, oh, my friends put you up to this. This is just a joke, right? She's like, what? So, like, he starts hitting off with her, and she's like, well, I got to get going because I can't disrupt too much things in the past. And so she leaves, and he goes back to the table. You guys got me. And they're like, what are you talking about? Remember how I was saying I want to be a time traveler? I'm like, yeah. There was a girl at the bar that said she's a time traveler. Yeah, right. And his friend comes back. He goes, dude, you got to follow me. I saw something you aren't going to believe. So they go into the bathroom. He's like, you got to do exactly what I did because I don't know what triggered it. So then it's like all three of them are standing in line, peeing. Not all peeing, but he's pretending to pee, singing the song and do all that stuff. And they go back out. And it's not the present day anymore. So they're like, what the fuck's going on?
And the same song?
They were singing the same song, but it wasn't on the radio.
Turn around.
But they go, and it's like different. So they go back to the bathroom, and they're like, what the hell? Oh, because they leave the bathroom, and it's the past. Mm-hmm. So they see the three of them sitting in the booth, and they're like, what the hell? So they're trying to figure it out. And then he's like, wait, if we're still in the booth, I haven't met the time travel girl yet. So then he catches her in the hallway and says, and she's like, oh, hey, I seriously have to leave. I told you I had to leave. He's like, no, I'm this is after, like, I went through time. And then she's like, what? Yeah, there's a flux in the bathroom or something. It's got to get fixed. And like, oh, okay. And then, like, basically through the movie, they find these different fluxes and keep going through time. And they accidentally leave one of their friends behind in, like, the past and then the future. It gets all kinds of crazy toward the end. I don't want to give it away. But there's a definite conglomerate at the end of the movie.
Is there a dinosaur in it?
No. Oh. But they go into the future where there's giant, giant
robots,
ant creatures. Oh. Like, the whole world is frozen over, like, and there's like
Defense Force.
Kinda. I've never played it, so. Oh, my screen is going to sleep a lot faster than normal. So I thought it was an entertaining movie. It's a fun little. It's just sad because they set it up kind of for a sequel,
mm-hmm.
but the guy who wrote it died, so they're probably not going to make a sequel now. Oh. So that's sad. But I gave it a 7.5. It was quite entertaining. And just trying to, it was fun trying to put the pieces together because they're a part where they see themselves wearing outfits. And they're like, well, we're not wearing those outfits. And then they slowly get the outfits and, like, they see a mural with the painting of them in, like, in post-apocalyptic area. And they go through time and they're in the future where there's a party and everybody's dressed like them and stuff. It's pretty entertaining. It's called Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, and I gave it a 7.5.
Alright, well, I'm gonna go into the first.
And then, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just kidding, let you go.
Time travel. The first movie I watched this month, speaking of Stephen King, was a little movie based on a comic book called Pet Sematary.
Oh, I forgot to mention, all the movies I watched this month are based on comic books.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We had Tony Pokes. What is it called? What am I saying?
RoboCop.
Yeah, no, I was poking fun of Tony. Because he calls
correction,
himself.
Correction. Apparently, corner. RoboCop is not based on a comic book. I really thought it was.
Turns out the comic book came out the same year as the movie, but the comics are based on the movie.
Yeah, and the movie's universe.
To be fair, I was 4 when the movie came out.
And to be fair, I read the comics before I saw the movie. Yeah.
And also,
I also wasn't born when it came out.
87.
Oh, shit. I got it backwards. 78.
Oh.
87. I was alive.
I was 4 and you weren't born?
Yeah, you're older than me.
Uh-oh. And also, the second, they made comic books, and then they made the second, third, and remake. So kind of in a way, three quarters of the movies are following comics. So thank you. Anyways. Pet Sematary is the movie that I watched. Now, I read the book in the last, like, year or two. It's a good book, and it's a good movie. The end. All right, next. I'm just kidding. The movie is about this guy who's a doctor. His last name is Creed. I just had this pulled up, and I didn't even look at it. Lewis Creed, him and his wife and his kids move into the country. And they live right next to a giant highway that is always trucks are going by all the time and stuff. And across the street from them is a guy who has a very Maine, state of Maine accent named Judd, who befriends the family, and they kind of just hang out a lot and stuff. But Lewis is there to he's he's a college doctor, so he's like deals with like any time the kids in the college are sick or hurt or whatever, he's there to take care of them. They become good friends with Judd. Lewis and Judd, best buddies, always getting hanging out and drinking beers and stuff, sitting on the porch talking about how dangerous the road is.
And it's dangerous up the road.
That was very Forrest Gump.
I like Forrest.
I like when my cat gets hit by a
truck. I like Pet Sematary.
But
right, Jenny.
But yeah, the little girl, I can't remember her name. Anyways, the little kid girl, her cat Church gets hit by a semi, and he's like, oh no, she's gonna be so sad that she'd be so sad that her cat's dead. And Judd's like, well, I know what you can do. I got the Pet Sematary. I can't do it.
It sounds like Forrest Gump.
I can't do it now because I'm thinking of Forrest Gump. But anyways, he tells him about there's this ground beyond the Pet Sematary. So technically, the Pet Sematary, I say Pet Sematary, but it's like, it's not the Pet Sematary. It's ground way beyond the Pet Sematary. That was this like Indian burial ground where if you bury something or someone you love, it comes back to you, but you had to bury your own. You had to take care of your own. So like, Judd couldn't help him bury the cat. Lewis had to bury the cat himself. And then like a day or so later, the cat shows up and he's really pissed off and just like, fuck you. Of course they don't tell the kid or anything like that,
Tell the kid to fuck off.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, kid. You stupid
cat. Look what you did.
This is your dumb cat. Now I had to bury him. I didn't even go to the store and buy a new one. I just make a demon cat. Of course, you know, in the Stephen King universe, and the book goes a little more depth into this. Why this is happening? But at the same time, like it didn't go in depth enough in the book because it's evil. Like the land that the Indian burial ground was going on, was built on, whatever, buried on. It went sour because, like, in the book, an ancient spirit, the Wendigo, Wendigo, like, soiled it and it made the people come back, like, they ate flesh and stuff. Like, not like zombies, but, like, they just weren't in the human realm of world. But anyways, so on and so forth, all this other stuff happens. But the main thing of the story is their kid Gage. He's like a 2 or 3 year old, 3 or 4, somewhere in the early single digits. He wanders on the road and slam bam gets run over.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. He gets run over. They put him in a bucket, casket, and bury him and all stuff.
Put him in a bucket. Wow, he really got hit by that car. He fits in a bucket.
Put him in a bucket. And it's like, oh no, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna put the kid? You're gonna rebury the kid in the Pet Sematary? And then like, that's when he starts to decide to do that. That's when all hell breaks loose. No pun intended. I mean, it's not hell, but like, that's when a lot of the bad things happen
from hell. Pet Sematary from hell.
But yeah, the book is good. The movie's good. The book obviously is better, but that's not
books
saying
are
much.
Always better.
But like they hit a lot of the main points of the, like, it's not like when you watch a movie and you go, like, let's say The Dead Zone, like something you watch The Dead Zone and go, they cut out all these giant parts that I found interesting. This is like, they kept pretty close, they cut out like a character here and there, but like, you know, without making it too bogged down, they fit a lot of the story into the movie, which is cool. But I gave it a 7.
Nice.
Do you want me to go into the...
I can... What?
Guys, the problem is I watched the second one as well.
Oh, talk about it. Pet Sematary 2?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made a sequel.
Oh, yeah. Well, get ready for this. It's not as good. I feel like... I should rate it lower than I did. Anyways.
You rated it higher than the Dark Tower.
No. I did rate it higher than the Dark Tower. So Pet Sematary 2, it takes place, I don't know how much later than this than the first movie, but here's part of the... I don't want to spoil the first movie, because if you haven't seen it, it's a cool movie to watch. So, without spoiling it, the second movie takes place after the first movie, and,
the same characters?
No. None of the same characters at all.
Oh, okay.
None of the same characters at
Except
all.
Except the old guy, right?
Nope.
No?
He's not in it. None of the original characters are in it at all. They barely mention, one of the characters that, like, she went crazy... Like, the daughter.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm guessing it's years down the road. I don't know. They don't really explain it too much. But the thing is, the Pet Sematary, no one really knew about it because everyone that, like, because when Judd is talking to him about the Pet Sematary, is like, a lot of people in town knew about it, but then they got older and passed on. And it's one of those things where the Pet Sematary was evil. The ground was evil, so they didn't want people to know about it, so they wouldn't bury their dead there. So then... A bunch of people in the second movie know about it. I'm like, where? Like, Judd was the only person that knew about it in the first one. And then once he told...
Fucking rumors spread around town.
I know. Once he told Lewis, he's like, all right, this... So they mentioned, like, you know...
Fucking Lewis telling everybody.
But the main character, his dad, who is actually Anthony... whatever his name
is. Anthony Michael Hall?
Who's that?
Rex's Breakfast Club?
No, it's the guy from Nerds.
Oh, Lewis?
No. In the second movie, Pet Sematary 2.
Oh.
The guy who played
Gilbert?
Jesus. Yes, the guy from ER and whatever, Anthony. Oh Jesus Christ!
Anthony Edwards.
Edwards. He's the dad.
Oh shit, that is his name.
He's the dad in the second movie.
I just guessed.
And his. Wow, let's start over with the second movie. A kid, his mom's an actress, and she ends up dying on stage when they're, like, shooting the movie, because she ends up getting electrocuted. So the dad is, like, he's a veterinarian. So him and his son, they move into the country in the same town that the first movie took place in, and he sets up his veterinarian clinic there. The new kid obviously gets bullied around school, but he becomes friends with this other kid who's... Gets picked on, but not as much as the bullies, because I guess since he's not the new fresh meat in town, that he doesn't get picked on as much. But Edward Furlong is the main character. You might remember him from such movies as Terminator 2.
Oh, is he the cop?
No, he's John Connor.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And he was also a Nazi in American History X. He's the main character, but then he befriends this kid in school, that kid, who's like, my dad, or my stepdad, or whatever, he's really mean to me all the time, he's always picking on him and stuff, and his dad ends up shooting the fat kid's dog, and he's like, oh no, here, let me tell you about this pet cemetery. He's like, okay, so then he goes up there and buries the dog. Like, this is what happens. And the Pet Sematary explains the whole thing. Like, how do you know this kid?
He saw the first movie.
Yeah, he must have. He must have. The movie doesn't... I mean, it doesn't really do as much as the first one, because the dog comes back, but then they end up, like, accidentally... I don't know if they accidentally do, or, like, they just fight back because the cop stepdad is, like, abusive. So he ends up dying, and they go... We'll bury him, because otherwise mom will be mad. And then he's just, like, fucking gone. He's, like, just loses his shit. And, yeah, it's all right for a sequel of a movie based on a book.
Because the book didn't have a sequel.
No, it sure didn't. This is how much stuff happens in the movie. The plot summary on IMDb is... The ancient Indian cemetery with the power to raise the dead returns and influences the lives of new residences.
Residency.
Yeah, or... God damn it, this guy wrote a great summary. The cemetery is up to its old zombie-raising tricks again. This time, the protagonists are Jeff Matthews, whose mother died in a Hollywood stage accident, and Drew Gilbert, a boy coping with an abusive stepfather. Yeah, it doesn't... I mean... It's all right. It's kind
the
of...
The sequel's like, who can we bring back from the dead in this movie to make it interesting?
Yeah, a human being. All right, and they'll have him interact with things, with people. And he's just like... Like his neck is all cut up or whatever. Like, I think the dog attacks him after, like...
Oh, that's what it is.
The dog that...
So instead of a cat, there's a dog.
Yeah, but the dog, like, rips the guy's throat out, and they go, well, time to bury the stepdad. And then he just comes back, he's like... like, making, like, just dumb, laughing at dumb things, and his neck is, like, just bleeding, so they wrap with a rag and stuff, and it's just like, oh. All right. But I gave it a 6, because it's not horrible. It's, like, one of those movies that you can turn on and not pay attention to, because you don't really have to, but it's got some decent stuff in it. It does have a scene where it scares me because, like, I thought because one of the bullies that's picking on Edward Furlong in the beginning, like, when they move into the veterinarian clinic, there's, like, a cat that had given kittens. So he's like, oh, I can have this kitten myself. It's like, dad's like, all right, fine, you can have your kitten. And the bully takes it away, and they're chasing him on bikes, and he's like, yeah, sorry, I was holding the cat, and I lost it, and his head went between the spokes. I'm like, holy shit. And then he was just lying to fuck with the kid, and the cat was fine. Like, if they showed a cat, like, just fucking losing his head in the spokes, I'm like, dear God.
That's fucked up.
But yeah, the bully kid, he was in a bunch of other stuff, too, that I recognized. He's a little dick.
Well, the next movie I watched...
Oh, he was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. This dude.
Oh, that fucking turd.
Yeah.
In
Big. He was the kid's friend in Big. That's what it was.
I watched Harry Met Sally. When Harry Met Sally. You haven't seen this movie.
Another time travel movie.
This isn't a time travel movie.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, but it starts with that.
Oh.
So. So
I actually know it's not time travel.
The movie starts with Billy Crystal. His girlfriend,
this is a Billy Crystal movie.
Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are the two characters. So Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal are driving together to go from college home or to home college. I don't know. But, Billy Crystal's girlfriend is friends with Meg Ryan's character. So okay. They don't know each other. So they're going, I can't remember where they're going to. They're going to New York from Carolina or something like
okay.
that. So it's like a long trip. So they're like, hey, why don't you go with my friend Billy Crystal, because I can't remember names. So Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are on a car trip, and you know,
but the girlfriend's not there.
No,
what the hell.
No. So they're just talking and bringing up all kinds of conversation, because, you know, they're driving for hours. They swap off every so many hours to, like, you know, switch drivers or whatever, and they stop to eat and all this, and they're just talking, and he, Billy Crystal says something like, women and men cannot be just friends.
Oh, like, Seinfeld reference.
He's like, no, Seinfeld probably referenced this movie. But he's like, yeah, if a guy wants to be friends with a girl, that just means he wants to have sex with her. There's no way guys and girls can just be friends. And she's like, that's not true. And he's like, yeah, it is. And she gets really mad at him. And then they have more conversations. And then he says something like, you're really attractive. Uh-oh. And she's like, you have a girlfriend. He's like, so? I can't tell people they look nice? He's like, you have a boyfriend. And she gets really pissed off because she's like, your best friend, you're dating my best friend and all this. And she gets pissed. And they end up getting to New York and blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts a couple years later, and Billy Crystal meets his old friend in an airport, and his girlfriend is Meg Ryan's character, and they're like all introducing and blah blah blah, and he's acting like he doesn't remember her. And then they leave, and she keeps talking about Billy Crystal's character to her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she's like, can you believe him? He hit on me when he was dating my best friend. And she couldn't remember her friend's name, but she remembered his name.
Oh.
And then they just, like, then basically throughout the movie, you see them in relationships, and Billy Crystal ends up getting married, And she's like, oh, yeah, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And they just keep bumping into each other. It's New York. So apparently it's
a time travel movie.
So they, well, just forward. That's life. they keep bumping into each other. And then eventually they say, hey, we keep bumping into each other. Let's, you know, become friends. So they start being friends. And she's like, remember when you said guys and girls can't be friends? He's like, I never said that. She's like, yeah, you did. No, that's not true. Guys and girls can be just friends. So then they, like, call each other on the phone at night and bitch about, you know, shit. And, you know, a couple, you know, like friends do. And then as the movie goes, eventually, like, he kisses her and she gets defensive.
Whoa.
And they end up, well, long story short, they get together at the end.
Oh.
But it's a fun movie because you can see how people evolve from college to the 20s to the 30s. And I don't know, it was a pretty entertaining movie. There was some, I should have wrote down some of the good lines in the movie, but I couldn't think, I didn't, and I can't remember any of them right now, but there were some good lines. Made me laugh.
If you want to know, go to IMDb and just click on quotes.
Quotes, watch the quotes. But if you haven't seen this movie, I recommend it, because it was entertaining. Unlike some movies, like chick flick movies, which is like, I get it, blah. But this one was actually entertaining, and Carrie Fisher is in this as well.
Okay.
She's friends with Sally. I said I couldn't remember their names. It's Harry and Sally. It's in the title, idiot. Wow. Yeah. So Carrie Fisher is friends with Sally. But I gave it.
I'll look it up so you know. I'm like, it probably doesn't matter. It's in the
fucking title. I gave it an 8. Yeah, and Meg Ryan plays Sally.
That was.
But if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's entertaining. Even though everybody knows the scene, I'll have what she's having.
Oh, the scrambled eggs.
I don't remember what it was. I don't know. They eat a bunch of times in the movie, so I can't remember.
One of the times they eat food.
So then, this is a complete turn. So I saw When Harry Met Sally, and the next movie I watched was John Wick. Oh, which is like, I was trying chick to think flick of, to an action film.
This is the other, this is like when the girl and the guy compromise. I watch my movie, you watch your movie.
Yeah, I know, right? And I'm just one person.
So it's John Wick.
John Wick. If you haven't heard of this movie, Keanu Reeves. I couldn't remember Keanu Reeves' name.
His name's John Wick, Jason.
I know. He plays John Wick. Keanu Reeves. Who, in itself, is not a great actor. But in this movie, he does a pretty good job because it's basically just choreography. But anyway, John Wick is an ex-hitman or something like that. He's part of this group where they... Hitman's not the word.
Assassin?
Yeah, assassin mercenary type thing. But he retired and...
I almost said human for hire.
So he retires. His wife ends up dying from cancer or something like that. And he's like, oh my God, this sucks. So depressing. And he ends up getting a little puppy from... I think she got him a dog or something when she was dying because he's like, you got to be with somebody. So she got him a dog. So he got this little puppy. He's got a really nice car. I think it's a Dodge Charger or something like that. And he stops at the gas station. He's filling up his car. And a guy comes out and goes, nice car. How much are you selling it for? He's like, it's not for sale. Everything's got a price. He's like, nope. And he gets in his car and leaves. And the guy
I bet that quote comes back later.
I don't know. I don't remember if it does or not. But anyway... The guy who wanted the car gets pissed, so then he goes to John Wick's house, steals his car, kills the dog, and just ransacks the place.
Is this guy on meth? What is happening?
He's like, he thinks he deserves everything. He's like, it turns out he's like part of the, I think it's a Russian mafia type thing. And I'm probably butchering all the stuff.
Turns out he was just an ice cream man.
And so John Wick ends up killing a bunch of the people in his apartment that, like, destroyed it, but the main guys get away. And he calls his old buddies from back in the day to, hey, can you clean my apartment? wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then they get rid of the bodies. And he ends up going downtown because he's pissed off because his favorite car is stolen. His dog got killed. He's got, like, no wife anymore. He's fucking had enough of it. So he went down to the hotel where all these people in this group stay. It's a safe haven. Like, mm-hmm. no one is allowed to kill people here. Like, you're safe in this building.
It's like Ghoul.
Yeah, kind of. So he goes to the apartment, stays there, goes to this club to try to figure out who's the person that stole his car, trying to get his car back. And ends up, starts murdering a whole bunch of people there in this group.
In Ghoul?
In the club.
Oh.
At the, which also is not really, it's kind of frowned upon.
It's murder is frowned upon.
Murder is frowned upon. So he ends up killing a whole bunch of people. Like, I don't want to say death is cool, but it was very well done in this movie. So he ends up killing a whole bunch of people, gets information, trying to find the kid who stole his car, whose dad, I think, is the head of the mafia. And he's like, he told the kid, he's like, you fucked with the wrong person. John Wick is not somebody you mess with. So you're on your own. You should be scared. He's like, no, I'm not scared. Like, you're going to be. So then John Wick starts killing a whole bunch of people. And then the dad's like, fine. So he hires assassins to try to kill John Wick. And they did the no-no, tried to kill him in the hotel.
Uh-oh.
So then shit just went crazy, and there's a lot of deaths. But it's, because he does things where he shoots, spins, like, and these are all headshots. Like, just boom, boom, spinning around, sliding, doing all this crazy. It looked awesome.
So it's like if, like, Neo, like, really dove hardcore into the right. fighting.
Like, yeah. So it was, I gave it a 7.5. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
You liked it's it?
Definitely worth watching because just the choreographed fight scenes are pretty fucking awesome.
That's,
Yeah, and the little weasel-y kid is in, I say kid, but he's like probably in his 20s or 30s. He's a kid from Game of Thrones who becomes, oh shit. I can't remember his name.
Joffrey?
No, because like I said, he's in his 20s.
Who becomes Joffrey?
No, he gets his junk cut off and he has to be called somebody else.
Okay, yeah, that dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, I gave it a 7.5.
I want to say Theon Greyjoy. That's the character's name, but...
Yeah, Theon Greyjoy.
Spoiler if you haven't seen season 2 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So, the next movie I watched kind of goes back to the chick flick type thing, I guess.
John Wick 2.
No, I'll probably end up watching that eventually if I can get my hands on it. But I watched Romancing the Stone. So it's a nice compromise between the two. Except not as many deaths. So Romancing the Stone. Holy shit, I can't remember her name. The main girl.
The young Greyjoy.
No, she was the voice of Roger Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, I almost said Jessica Chastain. That's
not it at all. Person. I should probably, like, I don't know, have the IMDb.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, there you go. Kathleen Turner. So she is a writer of a famous book series. And her sister and her husband are down south somewhere. And her husband dies. And before her husband died, he mailed this package to her. And she opens it, and it looks like a map or something. She's like, this is weird. And then the phone rings, and her sister's being held hostage. It says, you need to bring that package down here, and we'll let your sister go. And she's like, oh, shit. Yeah, Danny DeVito's in it.
I didn't know.
So... She ends up going... Oh, it's Columbia down south.
It is south.
So, Kathleen Turner?
Yeah.
She ends up going to Columbia to help get her sister free.
Or if you want
to
say Joan Wilder.
There's a bunch of people who are trying to get the map from her that aren't part of the cartel, because basically it's the cartel, Columbia cartel has her sister, and they're like, yeah, this taxi cab goes to where you're trying to go to. And she's like, all right, cool. She goes in, it's going the wrong way. It's going the complete opposite direction. And Danny DeVito is playing a character who's spying on her to make sure she makes it, because he works for the cartel.
Okay.
And so she gets in this, it breaks down, and she's like, and then Michael Douglas shows up, and she's like, hey, you gotta help me, I gotta get to my sister. And he's like, you're going the wrong way. She's like way back the other direction, the city where she's at. Not, he doesn't actually know her sister. And she's like, I'll pay you if you can bring me there. And he's like, no. What about, and then she says amount. He's like, fine, this much. She's like, okay, fine. He's like, all right, I'm hired help. And so he's like helping her through the jungle, and there's like a mudslide, and they get through the trenches and all this stuff. And he's like, so they want this map for your sister. She's like, yeah. What if we give him the map, but we find the treasure first? Because then we give him the map, and we'd have the treasure. And she's like, no, I don't think so. But then eventually he says, yeah.
just small plot point.
Small plot she says, point.
Yes. She goes to look for treasure. It's small. And, not a big deal.
Yeah. And the thing that was funny is that... unlike Indiana Jones and stuff, it's like, here's the map, you must do this, like all these crazy puzzles to get through it.
Yeah,
it's just a map.
Yeah,
so it's like, oh, we just have to go
here
and then it says it should be here, and oh, look, there it is. So I don't know, I thought that was kind of funny that like the actual treasure hunting part was probably like 5-10 minutes.
Was it a type movie? Was it
community? It was kind of funny. Elements. Yeah, Michael Douglas is pretty entertaining because he just doesn't give a shit about her.
Ooh.
Well, he's pissed because, oh yeah, I forgot to mention that, like, there's, oh, what did, the bus crashes or something, and basically let all of his birds go. Because he was like, he collects birds and sells them to people for a lot of money. So like all of his profits are gone because of her. So he's pissed off at her for that.
It's a good reason.
Yeah. And then there's a sequel, which I didn't watch yet, which I might watch next month. I don't know.
Romancing the Nile. Nope. Jewel of the Nile.
Jewel of the Nile.
You didn't watch that though.
I did not watch it. But I gave this one a 7.5 as well. That was pretty entertaining.
The next movie I watched,
now I have 5.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I missed one.
Oh. The next movie, I bought it because I knew what the movie many years ago, but I didn't have a way of...
I did forget one.
I didn't have a way of watching it because it's like... It was a YouTube Red movie, and I'm like, I don't want to deal with YouTube Red because I have friends that make money off YouTube. Like ads and stuff, and YouTube Red is a way that fucks them over, so I don't want to get involved in that. But I ended up buying the movie, Rooster Teeth, if people know that company, if they know what Red versus Blue is.
Yeah, I was going to say the Halo.
Yeah, like the Halo like series that's like on like season like 14 or 15 right now. But yeah, same Oops. People, like this is like their first, it was like a crowdfunded type movie by Indiegogo called Laser Team. And I watched it, because I'm like, I like these guys, they're funny. The acting is not their strong suit. And the writing isn't exactly great either. But what happens is, that like, at the very beginning, it kind of gives you like a background story, saying like, oh, people don't believe in aliens, but actually, like, when the government's been known about aliens forever, and there's this, this group of aliens are like, hey, this destroyer is coming. We need you guys to be ready to fight this destroyer because he goes around to planet and just, like, murders a bunch of people. So we're going to, in this many years, we're going to give you this powered suit that you can use to fight him. So, like, they go, okay. So they birth, they, like, they, like, get, like, use government science and stuff. You know, government science. To make try to make the perfect specimen and train him his whole life. Kind of like a whole Halo thing, technically, now that I think about it. But train him his whole life to use the suit. And then, but then there's a situation that goes on where one of the main characters, he's, like, divorced, and he's, like, this, like, police officer, security guard type guy that no one likes. Him and these two sort of, like, rednecky type guys in town, and, they get in trouble. Like, the rednecky guys, like, are, like, lighting off fireworks in this field, and then the main dude, Bernie Burns, he's like arresting this one kid for like being an asshole, basically being drunk and causing a havoc. So like the four of them are in a field, and one of the redneck guys lights off a firework and it shoots down the spacecraft that's bringing the suit. And like, what is that? And they all go looking at it and stuff. And the suit comes in four parts, and all of them like hold on, but like they end up getting the part stuck to them. Like one is a shield. One is, like, a plasma blaster. One is, like, a helmet. And then there are other ones, like, feet. So, like, one person can shoot, make a shield. One person can, like, activate all those, like camo and, like, statistical-type things, like RoboCop-type stuff. And then the boots are, like, super fast and stuff. But it's meant for one person, but the four of them together. So, like, the army comes in and is like, you guys need to, like, they go through training and stuff, trying to teach them, like, because the Great Destroyer or whatever is coming to Earth in like so many in so long in like a little bit, and they have to like be able to fight him for humanity's sake and stuff. But there's some pretty funny stuff. But like I said, the acting it feels very no offense, but it feels a little Craig Knit at times. Like, it feels like his style.
So you would love this movie.
Craig, you might like it actually. I'll lend it to you. It's called Laser Team, but there were the one of the best. Because like the four main characters, three of them are from the Rooster Teeth site: Bernie Burns, Michael, and Gavin, and then Colton from he's the guy in the wheelchair from Superstar. He's probably one of the funniest.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's the funniest, probably part of the movie. But then they led it up to a sequel, and it sounds like they actually are making a sequel. Which I'll probably end up watching that one too, anyways. But it had some funny moments. And of course, if you like follow a lot of stuff on the Rooster Teeth site, because they make a lot of shorts and podcasts and just tons of stuff.
And shorts and shirts.
Yeah, they do. They make shirts, a lot of shirts. But you can see a lot of cameos of a lot of people from the site, like from the videos and site, and people working on stuff. There's a lot of cameos, which was fun to point out and find. But the movie, I was really excited, but then I stopped it one night because I was like, I don't feel like watching this anymore, which shouldn't happen with a comedy movie.
Yeah.
But I finished it.
Unless you're pissing yourself because it's so funny.
Yeah, I wish. I laughed about three times. So I gave it a 5.5.
That's my Dark Tower.
Wished it was better.
So, yeah, I have 5. I forgot one.
This is going to be like a 7-hour long episode.
I know. I'm going to try to burn through some of these. Not this one. Is this a Sleepless? Nah.
I don't know what that meant.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, that's...
Okay. Was the other movie I watched this month that I should have seen by now. As well as some of these other ones that I've been talking about. Like, Romance in the Stone, I felt like should be on there. And then, but Sleepless in Seattle is Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
I always thought it was Tom Hanks was in Harry Met Sally for some reason.
Yeah, I did too. Well, it's just funny because...
Mail. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's Tom Hanks in Seattle. Yeah, that was like the movie since Sleepless in Seattle where they teamed up again. But
Teamed up.
So maybe it's a sequel. Just kidding. Sleepless in Seattle. Tom Hanks is living in Chicago with his wife and his kid.
Whoa.
And his wife dies.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's like, you know what? I'm going to move. I don't think I can be in Chicago. There's too many memories here. And they're like, oh, where do you want to go? I'll go to Seattle. It's like, it rains all the time there. Yeah. So he moves there with his kid. And the rainy weather works because Tom Hanks is sad a lot in this.
What do you mean it works?
Because he wanted to go there and he's sad all the time. So Oh. The rain and the sadness.
I think he was trying not to be sad. He's like, ooh.
So, I want to say a year or two later, the kid is like, my dad is very depressed, and I wish he would meet somebody so he'd be happy again. So he calls in on this radio talk show thing, where he calls in the radio show, and he's on the phone, and she's like, what do you want for Christmas? He's like, I want my dad to be happy for Christmas. And they're like, aww.
Oh, boo.
And they're like, why? What's wrong? He's like, well, my mom died a couple years ago, and he's not been the same since. So I really just want him to meet somebody and be happy again. And they're like, oh.
Wait.
And they're like, can we talk to your dad? And he's like, he'd be really mad if he knew I was calling you guys. She's like, no, it'll be okay. So then, like, he's like...
Is Meg Ryan the DJ?
No.
Oh, okay.
So he goes to his dad, goes, hey, Dad, there's someone on the phone for you. He's like, okay, hello? So I heard your wife passed away. Yeah.
Fucking rubbing your face, asshole.
She's like, well, your son wants you to move on and meet somebody and be happy. And he's like, what? I'm going to beat the fucking shit out of that kid. No, he doesn't say that.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He just turns. No. So, like...
And he loses a kid the same year.
So the kid's on one phone and he's on the other, because that's how phones used to work. And they're both talking, and Meg Ryan she's engaged to this guy who is allergic to, like, everything, like peanuts and salt and whatever.
And my girl.
I want to say, nope, it's not him. He was the guy who played Lone Star in Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah.
But she's engaged to this guy, but she's driving after meeting his parents and stuff. She's driving, and she's... like, oh, this song sucks. So she's flipping through the channels, and she hears this talk show, and she's listening. And, like, the kid's talking, and his dad's talking, and she's like, oh, this is so sweet. And then apparently after that conversation, people kept calling in the radio station wanting to meet this guy, because he's, like, the perfect guy, because, oh, he loves his kids first. He loves his kid first, and he sounds so sweet, blah, blah, blah. So, like, it becomes a phenomenon, because he's, like, the Sleepless in Seattle guy, because he couldn't sleep because he's missing, blah, blah, blah. So, like, everybody starts writing in and calling into the show, and Meg Ryan works for a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. And she's like, I'm going to do a story on this. So then she tries to, like, contact, you know, like, sends mail to the house and all this stuff. And the kid says, this is the one, Dad. This is the one that you're going to love. And he's like, no. He starts dating this one other girl. And he's like, no, this is the one. She said that she wants to meet you on the top of Empire State Building on Valentine's Day.
That's not in the same city.
No, in New York. They're going to go to New York and meet. Because she lives in Chicago.
Oh.
And he's like, this is the one. He's like, I'm dating this other girl. And the kid doesn't like that lady, because she laughs all the time at everything stupid he says.
Like in Revenge of the Nerds.
That's how she laughs. So the kid writes to Meg Ryan and saying, yeah, I'll meet you in New York at the top of Empire State Building on Valentine's Day.
Dick.
And
it's causing havoc.
And, like, the funniest part is that she gets the letters and reads them and thinks it's from him. And she's like, he doesn't have that big of a vocabulary. And he, like, uses some words wrong, but he seems like a nice guy. So then,
how did she not think he's a serial killer?
So, like, the little boy has a girlfriend. And
Jesus, everyone has girlfriends.
And she, like, uses her parents' credit card to book a ticket to New York for the kid. So he's gonna go meet Meg Ryan at the top of the Empire State Building, and he gets on the plane all by himself and gets all the way to Empire State Building.
Have they not
goes up to the top
from Home Alone?
And obviously Tom Hanks is furious that his kid went to New York by himself.
He's three times zones ahead of you,
and he's in Seattle. But so Meg Ryan is still with her fiancé. Is it a fiancé? Yeah, so she's...
Bill Pullman.
Yeah, Bill Pullman. So they're eating dinner and stuff like that, and she's like, yeah, he said he'd meet me at the top of the Empire State Building. Like, he tells this Then, like, the fact she finally tells him, like, yeah, I've been talking to this guy, trying to do a story, and he said that he wants to meet me at the top of the Empire State Building on Valentine's Day. He's like, what if he shows up and you're not there? She's like, eh, he's not going to. So then, like,
there's a kid wondering, how did he not get murdered?
I know, right? So then at the end of the movie, I don't know how Tom Hanks got there so fast, but like at the end of the day, like, Tom Hanks goes up to the top, finds the kid who's been up there the entire day, and he's like, oh, it's all right, you know, we'll find something, blah, blah, blah. And Meg Ryan's like, I just can't. So she breaks it off with her fiance, runs to the Empire State Building.
Like, she breaks it, like
we're says, done. Yeah, we're done.
Jesus.
She's like, I don't know if I can do this. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, he seems completely fine with it after being with her for this long, engaged, and, like, she gives back his grandmother's wedding ring.
Maybe he's allergic to relationships, too.
Yeah, maybe. So she goes to the Empire State Building, and the guy's like, sorry, we're closed. She's like, yeah, but someone, can I just go up there? Someone's supposed to be meeting me. He's like, it's too late. It's closed. And then he's like, fine, I'll let you. So then she gets in the elevator, and then they come down the elevator. She gets up there. No one's up there. Oh,
typical.
But then, like, they meet in the lobby, and, like, boom, 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 will it work? Credits. And that's the movie.
You made it. Like, the first time you mentioned that you watched it, you said how much you hated it.
I did hate it.
But you made it sound a lot more fun than it probably was.
Well, because it's a lot of just blah, 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 back and forth and stuff, but...
Fucking kid getting lost in the goddamn country.
Like, and that was probably the best part, was... Because the reference to the Empire State Building at Valentine's Day is a reference to another movie.
King Kong.
Nope. They mentioned it multiple times in the movie. They're basically ripping that movie off.
Oh.
But... It was entertaining. I don't think anyone needs to see it. If you haven't seen it,
basically just
I gave it a 5. Well, I said I was going to say the whole movie.
Yeah. I was going to spoil it. If they wanted to see it, then
well, now you know what happens. But I don't know. It's one of those things. Like, they never really met each other. Like, how do you know this is even going to work? You know?
Yeah. Oh, look at Rosie O'Donnell's in this movie.
Yeah, she's the lady who runs the paper or magazine.
Oh, okay.
So the next movie I watched was a Netflix exclusive movie called Death Note. Death Note is based on the anime series.
Well, technically a manga series.
Right.
The Japanese comic
book.
I don't know if
the comic come out first.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I suppose I should watch. I watched most of the anime. Like, I didn't read the book. But I watched most of the anime, and it got to a part where... It started getting stupid, so I just stopped watching it.
I think that's why it was based on the manga, because the mangas take, obviously, a month to come out, and then, like, yeah. And then the animes, this happens a lot, animes catch up to the manga, and then they have to do a bunch of filler, which is usually where a lot of anime just goes, oh, shit, and then it just completely changes.
Well, I don't want to spoil the anime, but, so I watched this movie, and in case you don't know what Death Note is about... there is this notebook that falls out of the sky. This kid finds it, and it says Death Note. And in the front has a whole bunch of instructions and stuff like that. It is a book where you write somebody's name in and how they die, and they die.
Yay.
So, like, the Death God gave him this notebook, gave him the power of the Death Note. And at the beginning, he's like, oh, okay, let's try this. So he writes the bully's name down, and he says decapitation. So, because he's, like, beating up this little kid outside. And all of a sudden, there's a car, and then swerves, and then, like, this utility truck, the ladder goes flying and just, like, goes right through his neck and just splatters all over the road and stuff. Pretty graphic. So then he's like, oh, this is kind of cool.
There's no reaction.
He's like...
I'm a sociopath.
Yeah, pretty much. So then he's got this book, and he's like, this could be, like, the best thing that could ever happen. So he starts, he meets this girl at his school, who's like, remember that guy who was beating you up the other day? He died. He's like, yeah, I know, he got decapitated. And she's like, wait, what? Did you see it? He's like, yeah. Hey, I want to show you something. And then, like, he, like, shows her the book and, like, watch this. And he pulls up this, like, streaming news site, and there's a hostage situation going on, and he's like, writes down in the book, and the fucking guy comes out, like, gets hit by a car, and he's like, I did that. And he, like, shows in, like, in the book, and it's exactly how he died. And she's like, whoa. So then he starts, like, killing off, like, basically bad people.
Okay.
Like, ridding the world. Like, this guy... Oh, his mom, like, previously to him getting the book, his mom was murdered by this one guy. And he went to trial, and he got off on a technicality. Mm-hmm. And his dad is, like, a detective with the police department and stuff like that. And he's not doesn't get along with his dad at all. But he's, like, puts that guy's name down in the book, and he ends up, like, stabbing himself, like, tripping and stabbing. Like, someone hits his chair, and he falls, and, like, the knife goes through his face and stuff like that. So he dies. And then it starts going, like, he just starts killing all these people, and people are like, this is crazy. And he's like, yeah. And he, like, goes online saying, this is my name. He gives, like, a fake name.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's Kira. He's like, Kira. And everyone's like, oh my God, Kira's the best. And the cops are like, he can't just be killing people. And there's, like, a whole bunch of people who are supporting his way of thinking. The cops are like, we have to find this guy and stop him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got too much power. And it just gets crazy, because then there's this other guy who goes by the name L. He wears a thing that covers his face, and L is not his real name, because he's like, he needs to know the people's real name and needs to see their face in order to kill him. So he's trying to, like, track him down, and because he's, like, super smart, because he hasn't slept for 2 weeks or something like that. And the movie gets pretty crazy toward the end, because he gets to the point where he's like, I have to stop this L,
mm-hmm,
before he kills me. So he tries this whole thing trying to figure out who he really is. Yeah. And it gets pretty crazy toward the end of the movie. I'm not going to spoil it. Yeah.
So,
but
basically, he can't just go, I'm going to write down John P. Smith.
Okay, because when you write down a name, you have to be picturing the person's face when you write it down.
Okay.
So there's a part where he's, like, on the computer, like, staring, and then he writes the names, and then he's, like, doing stuff, like, to get that. So, like, obviously, if he goes, oh, it's L, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But the thing, like, the anime, there wasn't as many rules in the book as they were in the movie.
Yeah.
And in the movie, I felt like, I don't know, it was weird. Like, you could do a lot more where you would just say, oh, a person's name in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. You'd write the person's name. If you didn't write down how, they would just die with whatever happens.
Yeah.
In the movie, if you write down a person's name, they don't die until, like, 7 days later,
mm-hmm,
or if you write how they die.
Okay.
But you can say they will die on October 4th by this, and that works if it's out of the frame. But if you write a person's name and they don't die right away,
uh-huh,
so, like, oh. So he used it as ransom, where he wrote someone's name down, and he goes, you got 7 days to do this, and he's like, if I burn the page before then, you're fine, and stuff like that. So that was kind of weird. And then the streaming thing, he's like, he wrote down, guy leaves, lets hostages go, goes out, stands in the middle of the road, gives a salute, and then gets hit by a truck.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you're manipulating people to do things. Like,
yeah,
that seems too much. Like, the cartoon didn't do that stuff. And I was just like, you're just telling people how to die. Like, he's saluting and all this. Like,
mm-hmm,
you're basically a puppet master now.
Yeah, it's not like you're letting fate.
And I'm not going to, like, spoil the end of the movie, because he does a lot of that shit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's kind of cool, but I don't know. I don't want to be one of those people that, like, you can't just change the rules.
I'd be interested to see, like, what, like, if, I mean, not to be creepy or weird, mm-hmm, but, like, just write someone's name down and just, like, write something, like, cotton. And just see what see how they die.
It's like, okay, cotton.
Or, like, well, dish, like, dish
that's
soap.
That's the thing. With the fact that you can, like, write this huge paragraph on how they die,
uh-huh,
and you're, like, basically a puppet master, like, you could do anything, and then, like, this person died like that? Like, it makes...
This,
like,
person died giving me $10 million?
Like, this person died by swallowing an entire thing of cotton. Like, why did they do that? Oh, because the book told them to. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed a little weird. It was entertaining to watch. It was way more graphic than I thought it was going to be. But with a movie like Death Note, or name like Death Note,
yeah,
I gave it a 6.5.
All right.
Yeah, it was definitely... if they do another one, I'll probably watch that one too. Willem Dafoe is the voice of Ryu, the death god. He did an amazing job. Like, he's great with voice work. But he also, during the credits, they were showing he was wearing, like, the motion capture stuff. Uh-huh. So they got his face and stuff. And he was just getting into it. It was awesome. Like, he is amazing at voice acting. He just has that voice.
Yeah.
That can be really fucking creepy in the dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The next movie I watched is a movie called The Last Unicorn.
Okay.
That's the one I forgot to write on my list. So, I'm going to go through this one pretty fast because it was okay.
It's a kid's movie.
It was a kid's movie from the early 80s. This unicorn says, oh, I'm the last unicorn. I have to know where all the unicorns went. There's all these myths on what happened to the unicorns. And apparently, only certain people could see a unicorn. The saying that virgins, only virgins see. So everybody else, it just looks like a horse. They don't see the horn. So there's like the story that this giant red fireball chased all the unicorns into the sea. And they drowned them all. So that's the myth that went around, and that's why all the unicorns are dead. So he's like, I gotta find out where they are. So the entire movie is him basically going on a journey to try to find the shore, and basically at the end meet up with this Red Bull and whatever.
Do they fight?
But, kind of. But it was weird, because toward the end, they're like, oh, you're a unicorn. This is kind of weird. So people are looking for you. So we're going to turn you into a person.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So they turn him into a human. So they blend. So it blends in. I don't know why I'm saying him, because I'm pretty sure it's a girl. So it was, I don't know, it was fucking trippy. Well, because all the unicorns that went into the ocean, like, when waves crest, you see all the sparkling and, like, those are the unicorns.
Oh, Jesus.
So, like, they animate it and you just see all these little unicorns, like, trotting, like, when the waves are going.
Oh.
It's fucking creepy. I don't know. I gave it a 6. What's his name? Oh, my God. The dude.
Not Bill Pullman. Jeff...
Bridges.
Daniels. Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is the voice of one of the main characters in this. Like, he's the only voice I really recognized.
He probably is there because, like, hey, you got that cool Tron work.
Okay. Yeah, so I gave that one a 6, The Last Unicorn animated movie. And then I watched the movie They Live.
Which is very similar to The Last Unicorn.
Which is exactly like you. No.
Well, it's your eyes are, it's deceive you.
They Live... Rowdy Piper, as most people know him as, said Rowdy in quotes, and then Roddy Piper. He's the main character. He is a homeless guy who comes to town, stays in like this homeless establishment where there's like boxes and I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like a hobo encampment.
Yeah, a hobo encampment. So they're sitting there and they keep hearing these weird transmissions coming from the church. That keeps interrupting their TV and like, God, what the fuck is going on? And they're getting pissed. And then the city's like, fuck this, we are getting rid of this hobo encampment. So they bring bulldozers and shit and just like destroy the place.
That's a little strong for cardboard boxes.
I know, right? So everybody leaves and he hides into the church and overhears these people talking that, you know, people gotta see what's going on around here and da 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 da. And you mentioned some about lenses and, you know, make the lenses so they can see what's going on. And he's like, this is weird. So he grabs some sunglasses and he puts them on and all the billboards like say obey or go to sleep and like all this weird like subliminal messages in advertising magazines and all this. He's like, what the fuck is going on? This is weird. He takes his glasses off. Everything is normal. Puts them back on. But it's kind of cool because they did it all in black and white when he had the glasses on, so you can tell the difference between on and off. And then a guy comes, and he looks like a person without skin.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck? And he puts the glasses on, off, and like, what are you looking at, dude? He's like, you're fucking ugly. You're an ugly-looking motherfucker. And it's like, someone can see us. And they speak into the fuck, and then they disappear.
Oh, jeez.
And they, like, teleport themselves onto the ship, and he's like, what the fuck? And, what's his name? He was in the last season of Community. He's a voice on...
Oh, Keith David.
Keith David is his friend in the movie, who's another homeless guy. He's like, leave me the fuck alone. He's like, no, you gotta see these glasses. He's like, no, keep your glasses. He's like, no, you gotta see this. And like, no. And he punches him. And they just get this big fight. Just because he wants him to look in the glasses. And they're like beating the shit out of each other. And eventually he puts the glasses on and he goes, what the fuck? And they're like, we gotta stop this. And they go up to the spaceship toward the end of the movie, and they're broadcasting fake news and stuff from the spaceship, and they rewire it, so they spend the whatever. And at the end of the movie, everybody can see the people as they are, and they're like, now you deal with it. Because it's like too late to do anything about it. So, I don't know, it was pretty entertaining. Just like the big, huge fight scene in the movie, the two friends fighting because he wanted the other guy to wear glasses. It's like, is it really worth getting the crap beat out of for that? I don't know.
And this is the classic, I came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, that's what he says. He goes into the bank and says that, and just starts shooting cops because they're the aliens.
Oh, okay.
And everyone's like, you can't do that. So there's wanted posters everywhere because this guy's killing cops. Because the aliens got into all these high-level jobs. Yeah, yeah. So all the businessmen and everything are these aliens. Because we're just fucking taking it in. Like, watching TV makes you stupid. And, you know, all these subliminal messages about...
Fake news.
Yeah, so I gave it a 7 for They Live.
All right.
And the last one you saw.
Yeah, the last movie I watched, you just watched it like last night.
Yeah, I did.
It's a movie written and directed, I believe, by Bobcat Goldthwait, you know, the guy from Police Academy movies.
Yeah. But he actually doesn't sound like that in real life.
No, he doesn't. A couple of years ago I watched World's Greatest Dad, I believe that was the name of it.
Cool.
He did that one as well, but I heard about this one. But it's a horror movie based on Sasquatch. And I didn't really know much about it. Picked it up at when making the used movie place going out of business. I picked it up cheap because I'm like, I want to see this. It's a found footage movie.
I typed in Wolf Creek.
Wow, that was...
That's the wrong movie.
Sure is.
It is Wolf Creek, right?
What?
Willow Creek. Oh, shit, I wrote the wrong name. Willow... We already saw Wolf Creek.
We watched... Last year.
Oh, shit.
Willow Creek.
I'll fuck it up if I put this in order.
But it's a guy who's going to make a documentary based on the old footage of Bigfoot.
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. You know, that footage where he's walking in the woods and stuff? They want to go back to that location.
The film site
where that footage was taken. But first he's going around with his girlfriend. And they're, like, interviewing people, like, hey, do you believe in this? Tell me some stories you might have seen. And, like, go into, like, because in this town... In this town of Willow Creek, there's, like, everything. There's, like, statues. And they're shooting all this footage for the documentary they're making. It's like Blair Witch Project, but the beginning part is, like, where they're talking to the town folk. It's probably a good hour of the movie. And then they go out to go camping, and they go to the film site, and there's, like, as they're stopping, there's so much stuff in this movie that I want answered, and maybe I'll have to, like, email Bobcat, if I know his email.
Yeah, they go to, like, the Bigfoot diner for the Bigfoot sandwich.
And all these murals and statues.
I'm trying to remember, I saw an interview with him, I feel like, I mean, all these locations are real.
Yeah.
Like, this is where Bigfoot was saw, in quotes. Was sawed on tape. And I don't remember if the people they interview are real people. I feel like some of them were and others weren't. Because, everything says as themselves.
Okay. Unless they're just playing...
Like, right. The Missing Woman, Angry Man in the Road, The Ranger, and Ukulele Singer are the only ones that... Aside from the two main guys...
Yeah.
That are, like, cast, everyone else is themselves.
But yeah, it's It's easy to sum up, but
Roger and Bob
wrote out that. That was awesome. I did like that song that dude sang about the Sasquatch video. But to me, I watched it and like, all right. So yeah, they're going around getting information on the Sasquatch stuff, and they decide to go to the camp at the place. But people are warning, like, oh, yeah, be careful. There's all like mountain lions and like bears and all sorts of animals in this area. When they start heading down to the campsite, there's this guy who stops him. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Go away. Go back the way you came. Don't come this way. And so with that, you're like, oh, what's going on? At least my mind was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the first night at the camp, unlike Blair Witch Project, everything happens like that first night where like you just hear
all these noises.
There's like literally, I'd say at least a 10-minute nonstop shot of them just sitting in the tent, hearing noises and then reacting to them, and things like right up the tent, banging on the tent, and the girls screaming, and then it was so realistic, it hit a nerve with me that made me feel uncomfortable, and it was one of the scariest scenes I've seen in a while in a movie. The next morning, like, oh, she's like, we are getting the hell out of here. It's like, yeah, okay, I agree with you, which is weird for a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, well, no one ever gives in that fast. So like they're trying to get out of there, they get lost. Like, fuck. We have to camp again here. And then that's the last 5-10 minutes of the movie right there. And then it the way it ends makes you go, I have 17 theories. but it was a decent movie. It was another found footage movie, which I'm starting to get tired of, even though Blair Witch Project is one of my favorite movies of all time. But there was a lot of things that intrigued me a lot. Like I said, the last part, it was a creepy as hell tent scene, in my opinion, at least. Because watching it by yourself in your room at night wasn't helpful.
The one take tent scene is 18 minutes long.
But the thing I loved was the characters were so real.
Yeah.
Like, I mean... I'm going to spoil a little part of it, not the whole ending, but so it's a guy and his girlfriend going through the whole movie, and like, oh, they work well together. Like, they're always joking with each other and this. And my first thought was, I bet on this camping trip, he's going to propose to her and she'll say yes, and then they'll both die.
Yeah.
Like every other fucking horror movie. Sure enough, he pulls out a ring, he proposes to her.
That was the best scene.
He proposes to her and she says, no. I'm like,
this is so awkward.
I was like, holy fuck, I did not see that coming.
I kind of did, because she was mentioning how she wanted to go to LA, and he's like, no, I'm not going there.
Yeah,
but not a good start. And then no, you want to get married?
She's like, yeah, not really. But like, it was, I don't know, it seemed very realistic.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was, I liked it quite a bit. I gave it a 7.5.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. It felt a little bit too much like they're just saying, hey, let's do what Blair Witch did.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing another found footage movie that's unique, it just felt like they're taking the same kind of thing. So I gave it a 6.
One thing I did like a lot about it, though, is the beginning part when they're interviewing everyone, the colors, like, pop. Like the color saturation is so high. Like, everything's brightly colored and everything. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it's, like, really, like, dark. And it's like the color contrast. I noticed that when I was watching the movie, because like the beginning shots when they're around town, it's like everything was like the blue skies and green bushes. Like everything was so like they must have played with some color saturation in that for you know, because it was like the beginning was so bright and happy, like the mood. I don't know, but yeah, I gave it 7.5. Yeah, and like I said, we'll talk about the Dark Tower in a separate podcast coming released later this month, because that will probably would have made this podcast like 2.5 hours long. But the best movie, the worst movie I watched this month was Dark Tower.
The worst one I watched was Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
And we both had 4.5.
4.5. And then the best movie I watched was Harry Met Sally at 8.
All right, best movie I watched was Willow Creek at 7.5. Yeah, if you want to email Scott stuff by scott@gmail.com, questions, comments, recommendations.
Yeah, if there's any movies that, not like, of movies that we've seen or not seen, but like anything you want us to see,
yeah.
us summarize and butcher it.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I'd love to see them try to explain this movie.
Yeah. Or just be like, hey, if we noticed you made a mistake in this, you know, could you email us and tell let us know instead of posting on Facebook, you son of a bitch. I'm just kidding, Tony. It's right.
Yeah.
We joke because it was funny. Because I honestly thought it was the same thing.
Like, well, it was funny. There was like a bunch of people who thought it was based on a comic. Yeah,
like Craig.
I mean, for the most part, like you said, it came out in the same year as the movie. Even though, because the movie came out, they're like, we should make a comic of this.
Yeah. And when I was a kid digging.
And I always remember seeing the Terminator RoboCop mashups.
Yeah, Terminator RoboCop.
Versus the Alien Predator.
And Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. Because I saw those in bargain bins when I was a kid before I saw RoboCop in video shelves.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Other than that,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.